Black or Real 2. Now, we were talking about your time when you were a recruit with the Scots Guards at the Guards Depot, Chelsea Barracks, from February 1940, roughly speaking. What about... We talked about the instructors, you know, the drill instructor, but, or rather, you know, what was drill like? How did you take to drill, and what did you think of it?
Well, the drill was very smart, very good. There were some chaps there that couldn't get into rhythm with all the others, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed standing up straight. I enjoyed sticking my chest out. I enjoyed holding my shoulders back, holding my head up, doing everything that I was told to do, and away we went marching. We had no rifles on our shoulder. We was doing the preliminary drill with no rifles. That is how to march properly and hold yourself correctly whilst you're marching. We done...
Did you do a lot of drill?
We done a 2 hours drill a day in the morning.
And did you see the point of it then? I mean, perhaps you do now, but then, when you were just a young lad, did you understand why you had to do 2 hours, why it was so important?
Well, I suppose I did, because I could see the point of showing yourself off. I suppose I was a little bit showy myself, but I enjoyed holding my head up. I enjoyed holding my chest and holding myself properly. And of course, in them days, I was just below 6 foot. I was a bit taller than I am now. I've worn out a bit since, but I was just below 6 foot, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed my bearing, and I enjoyed the marching. Made a few mistakes, obviously, because we were just training. But the only thing is, you see, we had sand shoes on. And we was always told when we stopped and about turn, we was always told that our aim was to crack that concrete underneath us, because we had to slam our legs down smart. You done a 4-point turn, and slamming your feet into the concrete. But I enjoyed all that drill. I enjoyed the training, and in the afternoons we went to lessons, regimental history.
Now tell me about that. I didn't know you did that still in the war. What were you learning about regimental history, and how important was it?
Well, it was to train you as a guardsman and to instill into you the guardsmen that had gone before you, the various honours that the regiment had, and where they were performed, and various heroes that came from the ranks. And it was all like classroom stuff.
Was it mainly the First World War, or was it right back to Napoleon? You know, was it the whole lot?
Oh, it was more or less the First World War, like the last war, as they called it. And what the regiment, the various regiments, and in the drill hall, there was the flag standing up and the banners and that. It was all about Scotland and the Scots Guards and their various battles that they won and what they was in and all that. It was just to instill into you that you was in a Scottish regiment. Well, you see, if I had been a Scotsman, I would have took more interest in it.
I was going to ask, did it work with you?
To me as an Englishman, it was a different country. I was a foreigner, and I was treated as a foreigner. I was a Sassenach Englishman in a Scots regiment.
So it didn't work with you, these lectures?
Well, I was interested because I had the sense to know that I was going to be with this mob for quite a while yet, so I've got to get used to it, and I've got to become or try to become one of them, which I eventually did.
Now, what about, did you do PT? I'm wondering whether they did anything to sort of make physical training to make you stronger, get your endurance up.
Yeah, physical training, we done the various movements, bending knees and hands above your heads, and And then we done bag training.
Bag training?
Yeah, there was
what's that?
There was like a sandbag, and it was the opposition, and there was another man with this big bag. I think it was filled with straw or something, a bit harder than straw, but he ran at you with it, and you had to defend yourself. It was like unarmed combat, and this was another person coming at you, the body. So you was taught to strike various parts of the body, like the neck, I don't know what you call them. I could in them days, but and you had to fight this body, but there was a man behind it, you know. And the instructor, the PT instructor, was just watching you to see how you would react against somebody coming at you like that. Because in them days, we had never seen a rifle. We haven't seen a rifle yet. This was just physical training without rifles. But
what about, I mean, you've not been a sports fan. Were you fit? Did the PT make you fitter, or were you fit?
No, I was a street corner boy. I was a street corner boy, and this was something new to me. Physical jerks, physics, something to tune me up, and I felt tuned up, and I felt good. I felt good, and I adapted to it, because I had it in my mind that I could see that the guardsmen marching, like say in the other part of the ground, the grenadiers, the people who had passed out and was ready to go out into the world as guardsmen, and I could see how straight and upright and smart, and I wanted to be like that.
Did you do route marches or cross country runs or
no,
both?
No, not at Chelsea Barracks. You never went out the gate. I was 16 weeks at Chelsea Barracks without going outside the gate.
So what else, what other training did you do at Chelsea Barracks in that 16 weeks? You know, what other sessions might you have? You mentioned drill, you mentioned the PT and the regimental history.
No,
what else?
The first eight weeks, you was a recruit, and you wore what they call canvas. And you had marching drills, holding yourself, how to hold your body when you're marching. You had lessons on history, lessons of the regiment. You had ordinary lessons, like an ordinary school, to see how, whether you was a Dumbo or whether you
now,
wasn't
tell
a Dumbo.
Me a bit about the educational classes.
Yeah.
Did you actually do the certificate at the end, or were you just doing the classes?
What was that?
Were you doing the certificates or just the classes?
No, we were just doing. There was nothing, no aim at the end of it. See, what the authorities was doing, they was trying to make you turn you into a guardsman, and by fair means and foul, they were successful, because at the end of that 16 weeks, if you didn't pass, you were sent out to another regiment.
Sticking to the educational classes, though, that's what I want to ask you about. What were they actually teaching you there? I mean, what sort of
lessons
were?
Just general knowledge. Just general knowledge to see, you know, to see what you knew and how far you'd come at your own school. A little touch of history, a little touch of geography. They would show you a map, and you would point out different. They would tell you a name, India, and you had to show them where India was, or America, South America, various places like that. And it was like being at school. History, they 1066 and all that. What was all that about? And blah blah blah. And it's just general knowledge.
What about maths?
You got a few swear words if you didn't remember, or if you couldn't answer any questions. But you were told you was a bloody fool, but you already knew that.
So anything else before you passed out at the end of the course? Anything else before you passed out?
Well, passed out properly. No,
because... Passed out the initial training.
After that
There was no weapons training in the first 8 weeks.
No, after that eight weeks, you was given a rifle. You was given a 303, Lee Enfield 303.
Tell me about your rifle training. How did they take you through it?
Well, you was given a rifle. Before you was allowed to put it on your shoulder, you was sat down, and everything was pointed out to you, the bolt, where the bullets go. You had a five ammunition container that slipped in. But you wasn't allowed ammunition. Never saw a bullet. Not all the time you were at Chelsea Barracks. And the rifle, you was always told never to fire it, because it would explode up into your face. Because these rifles were so old, and they'd been polished and polished and polished so much that all the rifling was gone in the barrels. So they would be dangerous if ever you fired them. But they were purely for training purposes. The old Lee Enfield, polished up to the hilt they were, beautiful looking, because they'd been polished every day of their life. But then you were shown how to hold them on your shoulder, and various drills, come to attention, present arms, all those drills, you were taught that. And but at this time, when you was given a rifle, you were given a pair of boots. Now these boots were they were brand spanking new. They were hard leather, and they'd never seen a bit of polish in their life, because they had no life. They were brand new, but you had to polish them up, and within days, you had to have those boots shining so that you could see your face in the toes.
Now, how did you do that? Were there any? Did they tell you the secrets of it?
We didn't know. But you learnt by bogging other people and walking round to the barracks to the other senior and seeing them spit and polish, and it was done by putting the polish on rough, and then heating your spoon over a candle. And then melting the polish into the leather, melting the polish into the leather, and you do that all evening, melting the polish and then rubbing, melting the polish, rubbing, and so that the heat is taking the polish, sinking into the leather, and after a while you got a shine, which was never good enough for the sergeant.
I was wondering, did you have kit inspections, or was there not much kit to inspect at the time?
Well, I was going to come to that. By this time, we got our caps. We got a peak cap with a band round the front, a leather band. Now, that leather band had to be as shiny as the toes of your boots. Now, Corporal Thompson, on inspection, he would come up as close to you as he could get to look at your leather strap on your cap, but at the same time he's standing on the bloody toes of your shoes, your boots, standing on. And you'd been all night the previous night polishing, 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 polishing. But there again, discipline. It was discipline.
Did you have to lay out your kit on your bed?
Tell
us about that.
You had your housewife as well. You laid every bit of kit out. After you'd got your kit, by this time you got your vest and your shirts, your khaki, and it's all laid out on your bed, and your housewife at the bottom, your boots on either side, soles uppermost, showing the studs at the bottom, highly polished. And the kit inspection, the man would come round to the officer or... And what he would do, if he wasn't satisfied with it, open your window, guardsman, and you open the window at the head of the bed, and he'd lift the bottom of the bed and zoom, throw it up in the air, and all your kit's gone out down onto the right square. There again, that discipline. There was nothing at all wrong with your layout. There was nothing at all wrong with your kit. But you was the bad boy. You was nominated as the bad boy that day, and your kit had to go out the window. And that happened to me a couple of times. There was nothing wrong with your kit. And afterwards, they would tell you. But they come back to the old routine, discipline.
Now, anything else about... What about... You mentioned the canteen in the evening. What was the Naffy canteen like in the barracks?
The Naffy... Oh, the Naffy was... You had to be smart. You had to be dressed, properly dressed. You couldn't go in the canteen in your fatigues. You had to wear your battle dress. And every button had to be done up. Even the girls behind the counter would report you if you had a button undone. Discipline again, you see. They come back to that.
What did the canteen offer? What was it? What was there in there?
Oh, you could have sausage and chips. Anything with chips. Fish and chips. You could have... They didn't have pizzas in them days. They wasn't invented, were they? But you could have pork pies, meat pies, pie and mash, cups of tea, and you could there was a bar where you could have a beer.
Did you drink then?
No.
Not at all?
No, I didn't drink, no. I used to have a shandy. They used to make me up a shandy. That was half beer and half lemonade. But
Were there any games, you know, like darts or billiards?
Well, there was a dart board, but in them days, dominoes was the game, which I thought was an old boys' game. But of course, some of the blokes there were old. I mean, there was staff on Chelsea Barracks who were ex-soldiers that had been in the army all their life, and they didn't know nothing else.
And was the canteen a good place? I mean, would there be a sing-song, or was it jolly, or was it a bit miserable in there?
Yeah, it was. There was music there. There was the jukebox, and there was music.
Jukebox?
The girls were very, very amiable, you know.
Would there be a jukebox then? Is it a bit early for... Would there be a jukebox? It's a bit...
Yeah. The jukebox was there. Yeah, it was some... You know, you put a penny in, and sorted your music out, and away you went. Shirley Bassey and them sort of people, you know. But 1940, well, I don't think Shirley Bassey was singing then. But
the equivalent.
There was various old timers. I can't remember their names now. But and there was background music and that sort of thing. And you had no television, of course. It was radio.
During this time, then, how were you settling down? You were with them, you know. You're out 16 weeks. Had you settled down with the lads? You said there were a couple of fights, or rather you got beaten up. Tell us about that. How were you getting on with the recruits?
We had arguments, but it didn't come to a fight, because if you had a fight, you was both in trouble. No matter who started it or who was at fault or that, you would be inside. You would be in the Klingelputz right away. No messing. And you would be in there, and you would be on fatigue, spud bashing. You would be scrubbing the floors. You would be scrubbing the lavatories. You would be doing all that for 7 days, 14 days, whatever the picket officer give you. But I had a few spells, because I did lash out a couple of times. There was one particular bloke that I really hated.
What was it? What did he do to you, and what happened?
Well. You see, in these days, in the modern day, they call it racism, don't they? He's race, you're racist. Well, them days, it was racist, because he was a Scotchman, I was an Englishman, and I was an Englishman in a Scotch regiment, which had never been heard of before.
And what did he do to you, and what happened?
Oh, it was push and shove and get out of my way, get out of this, that's mine, get out, you know. And if you're in the queue of the... For your meals, you've got your mess tin in front of you, and he comes and pushes in front of you and pushes. And of course, seeing him do that, all his mates wanted to do the same, so you was left behind. And in the finish, I swiped my bloody mess tin and just cracked him about the cheeks with it, and I couldn't punch him because I had knife and fork in my hands. But we was dragged in front of the major, and His mates wasn't dragged in front, only him. But from then on, they left me alone a little bit. They left me alone a little bit, because I was... But you see, it's a vicious circle. You come round to the time when you was a guardsman. You'd passed out all your training, you'd passed out your arms drill and all that, and then what we had on Saturday morning.
Before we go on to that, tell us a bit about the passing out. How did you pass out? Well, how were you assessed? What was there a passing out parade?
Well, you see, when you had done your arms drill with your full gear, on your spit and polish, shoes, and your white buff belt. We had white buff belt in them days, not khaki. And you had, every Saturday morning, you had a swank parade, what we called a swank parade. That was the whole battalion, the training battalion, was out on parade. And all the officers and their wives and their families and their daughters, and everybody came at the swank parade. And that was the show. If you made a mistake on that Saturday morning swank parade, mate, you was in trouble. So you had to be, that's why they called it a swank parade. You had to be on your best behaviour and your best drill. And it was a drill parade every Saturday morning. Well, after about a month, four Saturdays, you was picked out as either going to be a guardsman, or you had made so many mistakes during those Saturday morning swank parades that you was going to get the elbow. And the blokes who got the elbow was called in front of the eye officer, and they were told that you haven't come up to scratch, you will not become an efficient guardsman, and you'll be posted to what they called the pool. They went to the pool, and in the pool they was posted to other regiments, like the sappers or whatever. But when you was a guardsman, you was issued with your Scots Guards flashes.
And you passed.
Put on your shoulder.
Hang on. But you passed, did you?
Yeah, I passed because I was issued with me Scots Guards flashes to go on my shoulder.
Were you proud of that?
Oh yeah. Well, after what you've been through, it was murder. Now you could hold your head high, and you was allowed out on a weekend pass after your 16 weeks. And I became then the centre of attraction, because there's hundreds of Scotsmen, never been south of the border before, all of a sudden opened the gates of Chelsea Barracks, and where did they go? Where did they want to go? They didn't know. I was a Londoner. So I became their leader, didn't I? I showed them where the pubs were. I told them where Chelsea Flower Show was. I showed them where St Nelson's Column was. I showed them where. See, I became the Londoner then, and I was useful to them. And by that time, I was speaking as broad Scotch as any of them, because I'd lived with them 16 weeks with the Scots brogue all around me. And even when I went home to my own place at Millwall in London, people in my local pub were saying, "Where do you come from, John? What part of Scotland do you come from?" But that was the turning point. Then they all become my mates. Where was this? Where was that? How do I get here? How do I get there? What train do I get? You see, I was became a useful Londoner to them then.
Now, did you stay? You stayed at Chelsea Barracks for...
Well...
You stayed at Chelsea Barracks.
Yeah, after you passed out as a guardsman, then you were still at Chelsea Barracks, and you had to start learning the guardsman's duties. Now, there was one...
You were still with the Scots Training Battalion?
Yeah.
Scots Guards Training Battalion?
Yeah, we were still Chelsea Barracks, yeah.
Now, what were these duties you were learning?
Well, we stood a guard. We stood a guard, and the swill bins round the back of the kitchens were supposed to be the crown jewels, and we had to treat them as the crown jewels. We stood guard on those swill bins, and we got visited by the picket officer during the night and inspected to see that we was doing a proper guard, because we were guarding the crown jewels. There was another iron stairway, a circular stairway going up to room at the top, and we was given a sheet, a small sheet, a very small sheet of emery paper, and we had to clean those steps on that iron staircase. There again, you come back to discipline. Those crown jewels, although we knew they were the swill bins and the swill, but they to us they were the crown jewels, and we went through that sort of training to be a guardsman, royal duties, because
what are royal duties then?
Royal duties, well, Buckingham Palace, Clarence House, the Bank of England. I've done a Bank of England guard.
Well, tell us about the royal duties then.
The royal duties. Well, we'd never done them, but we'd only done the make-out ones. You know, places in Chelsea Barracks become Buckingham Palace.
What about the Bank of England one there? Tell us about that.
The gates. Well, the Bank of England, you done a guard down below among the vaults. There again, you took your boots off and you use your slippers because nobody must hear the sentry marching up and down. Because if there was any intruders there, they mustn't know that you was around. So it was a sort of silent sentry. But you went through all that. But then again, you see, coming up to the winter or the autumn, everything changed.
Hang on, did you do any weapons training at all at Chelsea Barracks?
No.
Firing, bayonet practice, anything
no,
like
not
that?
At Chelsea Barracks. All we had at Chelsea Barracks was the rifle that you wasn't allowed to fire.